This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this January 9th edition of Invest Talk. I appreciate you being with me. Above average investing for the average investor is what we talk about every day. And we hope you feel welcome to bring your questions to the table. In a moment, I'll get to one of those that came in before today's program. We talked before about the concept of behavioral finance. This is all about our natural biases, the ones that lead us to make illogical and often irrational decisions when it comes to investments and finances. An example, just one, of this is the concept of prospect theory. You ever heard of that? Prospect theory. This has to do with our perception of loss versus gain. What we look at when we have a loss versus a gain, how do we perceive that? The theory says that losses for an investor feel twice as painful as gains feel good. It's great to win, but it's worse to lose. That's what prospect theory is all about. This can cause us and everybody to be very risk adverse. And then, of course, what happens is we miss out on opportunities for gain because we're so worried about losing. But it's also true that it's harder to recover from an investing loss than it is to realize a gain. It's harder. So maybe that's why this feels so bad. Now, do you have a question about balancing risk and reward? I'm open to any money questions. We try to answer your questions live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can leave your question on our 24-hour listen line at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Eric calling from Los Angeles, and I had a question about penny stocks. I know you guys aren't real, you know, high on penny stocks, but I actually have a few, and they were pennies. One is NXTTF. And it's Namaste Technologies. And I did buy it at pennies. I bought it in at 66 cents, and now it's at $2.66, and partly because it's cannabis stocks. And another one of mine, I bought in at 2, and now it's trading at 11, which is Aurora. Anyway, they seem to be going up. They're Canadian stocks. So now that they're not pennies, and one I actually have is trading in the 30s, when would you consider those not being penny stocks and actually just being legitimate stocks that we just can't do or buy in the U.S.? Anyway, I'm hoping to hear what you think about the Namaste and then actually these stocks that are trading in, you know, high amounts in Canada. Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay. Penny stocks are penny stocks, and my perception or your perception of how I feel about them is probably more generous than I actually do feel about them because I'm very negative on them. That's because 90%+ of them go out of business. They have no business. Most of them have no business. Now, there are those who do. See, this is what happens. There are those who to make huge gains, huge, but they're very far and very few between everything else. Very few of them. In this case, you look at, like for instance, your Namaste Technologies. I don't have much information because it's a foreign stock. But today it went down 4.5% because it's a $2.78 stock and it went down 12 cents. That's 4.5%. But they've done very great because of the legalization of marijuana in California and other states. But have you noticed the federal government is now saying, guess what? It's still illegal based on federal laws, and they're going to start enforcing them. Said that this last week. This is something, you know, this is a very, very risky area of the market. Very, very risky. If I were you, I'd probably sell half my positions and pocket those profits. But your question was, well, how do we know when they become a real company versus a penny stock that usually aren't real companies? They're just an idea. Well, what's the earnings? How much money are they making? How much sales are there is happening? What's the sales growth? What is the PE ratio, price to sales ratio, return on equity? You have to start putting on real numbers in the company and then treat them like any other company. Okay, and if it's worth the money that they're selling at, maybe they're growing 1,000% a month or a week. Well, then that might be worth more to grow in their sales and their earnings. I don't know. That's how you know. That's what you do with penny stocks. They have to grow up to be non-penny stocks. As soon as they do, they get off the over-the-counter exchange and go to a real stock market like the New York Exchange or the NASDAQ or the Canadian Exchange. That's when you know you have a real company. Okay, good question, though. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Give us a call. Love to talk to you. For many years now, I've been meeting with our listeners on a one-to-one basis. As you know, we talk about it almost every day. I talk about their life situation, their goals for retirement. And when we're in the shadow of 2008 financial collapse, where many saw their investors drop 40, 50, sometimes 60%, the number one concern of those I met during that time was managing risk, how to prevent those kinds of losses. Heavy losses were really fresh in their minds. For several years after that, that was the biggest concern. Now, as we watch the market hit record highs, it keeps climbing and climbing. The stomach-churning fear of loss has faded way in the background. No one's really thinking about that much anymore. But protecting our clients' money is still first on my list, on my priorities, protecting that money. Of course, we all want to grow it. Now, as we talked about earlier, loss hurts more than gains feel good. And when it comes down to it, people can't afford to lose great chunks of their retirement funds. They just can't. So one of the principles of working with a financial advisor is a safety net of some kind. We have a number of products we have like five different programs going from very risky to no hardly any risk at all. Okay? And it's a responsible financial advisor will employ those kinds of balanced strategies depending on the people that they're working with. Okay, a financial advisor cannot remove risk. Believe me, we can't remove it risk unless you're just buying CDs or U.S. Treasuries, then you don't need a financial advisor. But we can manage that risk. Now, with that strategy in place, a high-flying market that we're in today, the balanced approach is not going to go up with the market. A balanced approach. Matter of fact, if you didn't own five stocks last year, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, if you didn't own those five stocks and even the beginning of this year, look at what they're moving. Look at a chart. You didn't own those. Those are very large companies, all of them. They drove the market. You needed to own all five to go up with the market. They just had to. And hindsight's always great. Oh, look, I should have bought that. But you also have to manage the risk. Going up is great. Everybody wants to go up. But how much do you want to go down? You want to go up with the market and go down with the market? Okay, just stay in your index funds. That'll work. But if you've been around long enough and you lived through 2008, you'll agree with me that we're way overdue for a correction, that we know it's coming. We just don't know when. No one does. And if you want to live through that correction, you can. No problem. Stay with your indexes. But if you want some protection against a big crash, that's when an advanced financial advisor will be very welcome. Okay? So, be very careful out there, everybody. Don't get carried away with this bull market. Yes, it's great, wonderful, but how long will it last? I can't tell you. Okay, how long did the dot-com last before it crashed? And I'm not predicting a crash in the market. I'm not. It may melt up this year again. 2018 might have a melt up again. I don't know. But just manage the risk and understand the risk that you're taking. And if you're getting closer and closer to retirement, you need to reduce the risk that you're taking. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. If you live in the San Jose area, I would love to meet with you and talk about your retirement portfolio. I do these one-hour sessions with individual investors just about every month in the Bay Area. I will be there February 7th. And if that date works for you, just go to investtalk.com and look for the InvestTalk tab and then portfolio review. But you and I can talk together before that. If you have a money question or comment, check in now at 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. line short. Let's talk to Vitaly in Atlanta. How you doing, Vitaly?
Hey, doing good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yeah, so I bought Alibaba and Disney a little while back. Well, just a couple of months ago. I bought them when I thought they were a good value, and they have gone up in price. So my question for you is, I'm trying to figure out if they're both hitting their peaks, and right now is a good time to sell them and maybe invest in once they drop back down, or just take the investments and kind of find another company that has good value.
Okay. I wouldn't just decide to do that just because they went up. I don't think that's a good way to decide, Vitaly. What you want to do... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The thing about both those stocks... Sorry to interrupt. The thing about both those stocks, they're both at their all-time highs, or Disney is just about there. They're about like $2, $3, if I'm not mistaken, like from their 52-week high.
Uh-huh.
So, which is why I'm thinking about maybe it's possibly a little bit overvalued at this point. Which is why I was wondering.
Now, that word I like. It might be overvalued. And that is what you want to check. Okay, well, is Walt Disney... Let's take a look at Disney because, you know, it's easier. It's just here, and I've already pulled it up. But they're going to grow their earnings by about 9% this year, 5% next year. Sales are pretty flat, though. But, of course, you know, Disney is a $166 billion company. So it's huge. So you're not going to get a lot of sales growth. And in Disney's case, they're right about the mid-range of their P.E. ratio, you know, of the last 5 years, the low is 15, the high is 24, and it's right around 20. So it's right near their mid-range. And the dividend is pretty small at 1.5%. So you can't say, well, gee, it pays 5% dividend. I'm going to hold on to that one. No, you can't say that. You can say it's a big blue-chip company with solid numbers, great return on equity. And it could easily slow down at the top that you're pointing at, the 52-week high. So I would say you have justification to move, you know, take your profits. If it's not one of your core holdings, it has moved up nicely from $96, $97 all the way up to $112, $113, and today it's $110. Okay, so
yeah.
I would say in that case, Vitaly, if it's not one of your core holdings and you don't want to hold on to it forever, it's probably fairly valued and probably doesn't have a lot more upside potential unless they make another huge blockbuster or two movies. Then maybe they would go up higher. Okay?
Okay. And also Alibaba, I was kind of having the same thing. It keeps just climbing and climbing nonstop, and I'm wondering, is it at a point where it's overvalued currently or not?
Well, your Alibaba is a whole different story as far as growth. It's growing 40, 50% a quarter in sales. And its earnings are growing at 52% this year, 30% next year. So you're buying this one because of that high growth. And I think you just keep it because of the growth. It's kind of justifying its high price. But I may trail it with a trailing stop. PE's at 43. Okay, so it's not cheap. But I don't know if I'd sell it because the sales growth is very strong. It's a growth stock, okay? And if we get a melt up Alibaba in this year, 2008, Alibaba will go with it. If we get a big correction, Alibaba will fall faster than Disney, okay, if we get a correction. But I think it's a pretty, I don't feel that it's super overpriced at this point. I don't, okay? Vitaly, appreciate the call. Thank you. This is Invest Talk, everybody. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Noel in Napa. How you doing, Noel?
I'm getting by. I think I have the rhinovirus.
Uh-oh.
So my voice is not too good. But I'm still interested in making money, no matter. And anyhow, my question today is about Deutsche Bank, DB. I bought it about a year ago. It went down about 6% last week because apparently Deutsche Bank doesn't like the new tax plan in the U.S.
It's going to
hurt them, evidently. But
anyhow,
should I dump this thing right away or hang on a bit longer?
Well, they're going to make $1.71, which is a big jump from 97 cents this year and losing 93 cents last year. So their earnings are starting to turn around, but their sales haven't. They've still gone down, well, they were down 6% last quarter, 10% the quarter before that. I think you can do a lot better banking-wise if you want a better bank, Noel. There's better banks, and it has a heck of a time getting above $19, $20.
That's true.
It just can't seem to stay above it.
I don't care about banking one way or the other. Just at the time when it was at $13 this year, I thought, hey, this is the biggest bank in Germany.
Yes, it is.
It's got to be okay.
Yeah.
Investment for a while, and ought to sell it and into some. I like technology much better, but yeah.
Well, be careful with tech because it's done so well. I'm a little bit nervous about it myself, but Deutsche Bank only pays 1.2% dividend. So even if you held it, it's not like you're making a 3%, 4% dividend. You can live with that, but it's not. So I think I'd move on. Even though we're a big, safe bank, I think I'd move on anyways.
Okay.
Thanks, Noel. Appreciate the call. DB is our symbol, Deutsche Bank, everybody. As he pointed out, the largest bank in Germany with 2,600 branch offices in 62 different countries. So they're all over the world. They're not just Germany. That's where they are from. Our main talking point today has to do with diversification, understanding its many variations. You need to get diversification. We'll look at that today. Plus, I have a couple other things I want to talk about. I'll save that for later. Let's talk about almost half of married Americans, 46%, die nearly broke. Half. Let's talk about that. I think that's kind of an important topic. And if interest rates rise, will that slow down stocks or will that speed them up? We probably should have a talk about, we know interest rates are going to rise. Will that slow down the stocks? I think we have some misconceptions out there we need to talk about. And something a little lighter, how about if you had $1 million, you retired with $1 million, how long would it last in the various states in the United States? What states will last the longest and what's the shortest and how long? I asked in the office that question and got some interesting answers. Those are the things we're going to talk about today. The market today was up 103 points for the Dow, 6.6 points on the NASDAQ. So the NASDAQ wasn't moving very well today. 4 points on the S&P 500. Now, what's really interesting, there was a huge amount of stocks falling on high volume and not too many stocks rising on high volume. So we still have that phenomena that still exists, which seems awfully odd to me. Let's go to Lee in Foster City. How are you doing, Lee?
Oh, hi. I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much. I am kind of new.
Okay.
And I'm learning a lot from your by just listening.
Great.
So thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I have two questions. One about financial. Mm-hmm. And let me, I've been trying to buy Bank of America and Citi for a long time, but I just didn't have time to get in. Mm-hmm. And lately, a friend of mine said UBS, I think that's Swiss Bank.
Okay. Okay.
And I just wanted to get your thoughts on investing in UBS at this time.
Let's look at UBS. The banking system, they always do, everybody thinks that the interest rates are going to rise and that's going to hurt banking. In actuality, rising interest rates help banks. Just as long as it doesn't spike up. If it moves up slowly, banks can adjust, and they do. And it's not like customers are going to disappear because interest rates went up a quarter point, a half a point. That's not really what happens. And when everybody gets used to the idea, I just don't want you to think because the interest rate's going up, banks are not the place to be. UBS is a $72 billion bank. It is a Swiss bank. It's growing in the single digits, but it's growing its sales. Earnings are going to go up 9% this year and then 17% next year. And it pays a 3.2% dividend. It's at $18.93. And I would say it's probably a good price, even though that's a 52-week high. I'm thinking that's a good price.
Okay.
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 Thank you.
So
I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to go. I'm against a hard break here at the bottom of the half hour. I'm sorry. Call again tomorrow though. Coming up next on Invest Talk: Four Reasons to Start Using a Roth IRA in 2018. That's one of our topics on the next Invest Talk. But what's your topic today? My direct line, 4 to 5 Pacific Time, is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next on Invest Talk. One of the KPP financial solutions that help solve today's retirement puzzles is waiting for you. How do you get the income you need in retirement without the kind of risk that you just don't feel comfortable with? KPP Financial has a whole catalog of investment programs suited for today's investment climate and designed to suit your real-life situation today. Would you like to know more about the Balanced Income Program, for example? You can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts or ask Steve directly about it. Just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. And your note will go directly to him, and he'll answer your question. The Balanced Income Program is one solution from KPP Financial. And now let's get back to the podcast. InvestTalk continues on a service of KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. KPP principals investing right along with their clients. This is InvestTalk, and you're invited to do some of the talking. Check in now at 888-99-CHART.
And I'm sure I bored you with talking about diversification. I'm sure I have over the years, and I'm going to talk about it again. But I want to be a little bit more specific this time. You know, diversification doesn't mean owning a bunch of different things. Because you can own different things and not have diversification, or at least proper diversification. Because when you talk about diversification, you really talk about correlation between different assets. How do they correlate with each other? Do they go in the same direction, up and down? Because diversification means one asset could go up while the other one goes down. And you really kind of want that. You think you may not, but you really kind of want that to protect your portfolio. For instance, you say, okay, I always recommend don't buy more than 3% of any one stock and maybe 15% of, and maybe even up to 20, I guess you could say that, of any one sector, but usually around 15. But if you buy five sectors of different stocks and four of them always move up together, you don't have proper diversification. And what do I mean? Okay, let's say you have commodities and a heavy weighting in precious metals, silver and gold, and then that's one type of asset. And then you have mining stocks that mine all kinds of products. And you say, well, see, I have precious, I have commodities and I have mine stocks, so those are two different categories altogether. Not necessarily. You got to mine gold and silver. So, you have to think about it. It's not like I'm not trying to tell you it's a bad thing. I'm not saying that, okay, because you have those two and they go up the same time and down the same time, therefore you don't have proper diversification. I'm just saying you're not understanding your diversification if you think that one's going to save your portfolio because I'm properly diversified. No, that's not so. You know, there's different correlations between different equities, different investments. And you're really looking for, occasionally, you want a lack of correlation. You don't want things moving up and down the same. I will say this, when a market moves up, most stocks go up with it. When the market moves down, most stocks go down with it. But if you have proper diversification, you may not go up as fast, but you certainly won't go down as fast. And of course, it depends on you. How much risk do you want to take? If you want to take a lot of risk, then you want correlation. What I am suggesting is you want to know that that's what you want. You want to know that. You just don't want to guess at it and say, well, I know I'm supposed to have proper diversification. No, well, what's proper to you? Maybe you want things to all go up at the same time and down at the same time because you like the risk. Now, let's get back to the 24-hour anytime line and pick up a question. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Beanie. I'm new to your program. I would like to ask you about GE. What do you think of it? Thank you.
Well, everybody knows that GE has been beaten up badly, right? We all know that they got just all year last year pretty much crushed, okay? Moving from what? Close to $30 a share all the way down to as low as, what is that, 15 or so? And now today they're at 1856. So it looks like they put in a bottom to me. They moved sideways for a month and a half and then started to move up. And they now broken their 20-day moving average on the upside. So this would be a first tentative buy signal. Now this is General Electric. Manufacturer, transportation, energy generation, consumer appliance, industrial, medical equipment. They're very cyclical, meaning they're attached to the economic cycle. If the economy starts to go down, they'll go down. The economy goes up, they'll go up. And we are on the upswing of economy, actually accelerating, not decelerating, but increasing. They're accelerating. So they're going to make $1.07 this year after making $1.16 last year, and then $1.03 next year. And therein lies the problem. Earnings look pretty weak. Excuse me. Sales in the most recent quarter finally turned around after three quarters of shrinking. They're not going away. That's a $160 billion company. PE, you know, it's an $18.56 stock. They're going to make $1.07 and $1.03. So you're talking about an 18 PE. That's fairly reasonable. So pay a 2.6% dividend. So this is kind of a buy point. This is a buy signal, at least the first hint of a buy signal that they've given off in a long time. So that's what I'm saying. I think it might be a buy right here, especially if the economy gets stronger and the world economy grows. Remember, it's a big company. It's worldwide. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, okay, let's talk about, just for a minute, why almost half Americans, 46%, die nearly broke. And this is according to a recent study by the National Bureau of Economic Research. Surveys by Gold Banking Rate show 56% of Americans have put away less than $10,000. 56% less than $10,000 toward retirement. And that about 75% of people over age 40 are behind on saving for retirement. Well, that, you know, that just goes along with many things I've talked about here. The question, you know, you are behind. Most people are behind. Most people haven't saved enough. I mean, that mantra had been going on and on and on. And remember, we're looking at a good economy, good things, and people still are not putting enough money aside. No matter how much money you think you put aside and you think you're doing well, put more. It can never hurt. You never know. I don't talk about politics very much, but I can tell you about age discrimination. I think there is a lot more of that out there than you realize, especially in the tech sector. If you live in Silicon Valley, you know that if you're over 50 years old and you're looking for a job, it's going to be very, very difficult because they're looking for the young people, not you, the old person. Just not happening. Okay, I have a couple of questions sent in to me, email questions, and I'll go over them real fast if I may. One is a ticker symbol KN, KN. I love your podcast, and I am an avid listener. Wanted your thoughts on Knowles Corporation, thinking of the potential upside due to artificial intelligence. Knowles Corporation, everybody, it's a $1.4 billion company, so it's kind of small. Manufactures micro, acoustic, and other consumer electronic products and specialized electronic components. They're going to make $1.03 next year. It's a $15.74 stock, so it's a 15 PE. Okay, 15 PE, which is not bad, but their sales growth for a small company like this, 1.4 billion market cap, their sales growth shrank 9% last quarter, zero growth the quarter before that. It grew 5% before that, 8% before that, and then four quarters before that it shrank. I don't like the growth rate. I will say this. There has been recent insider buying on the stock. Recent insider buying. So maybe the insiders know something I don't. But just doing a quick looking at what information I have here, it looks like it's put a bottom in about $14.50. And it looks like it's coming off that bottom. And if insiders are buying, I'd have to do a lot more research, but those are positive things. Negative thing, return equity is only 9%. So there's a lot of negatives on this stock that make me feel hesitant about recommending. KN is the symbol, Knowles Corporation. How much risk is in your retirement portfolio right now? Risk is essential to a growing portfolio. You have to take risks, but how much is too much? And it's not really how much is too much, but how much is too much for you? Take our free risk analysis quiz. It's free, and it's really quick. It'll help you understand how much risk you feel comfortable with. And then, if you like, you can find out about your current portfolio and how much risk it has. And it will give it a score, just like the quiz will give yourself a score, your own personal score from 0 to 100. And we can also score the portfolio, see if they kind of match up. It's right there on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
You can always spot an InvestTalk insider. There may be something in the way they walk or that confident look when they enter the room. Well, it's because they now have a ready source of information and perspective. Easy to read info sheets, a whole library of InvestTalk Wealth webinars to watch. And that slightly smug look on their face signals that they got it all for free. If you'd like to share in their air of superiority, just click on the InvestTalk tab on InvestTalk.com and look for InvestTalk Insider.
Hello, Justin and Steve. I was looking into Campbell Soup Company, CPB. I was wondering what a good entry place would be. Thank you.
Well, that's a really good entry place right where it is, in my personal opinion. It went sideways back starting in September all the way to December for three full months. And then it started perking up. Went from like $45 to almost $50. And then fell back down to $46. And today it's at $47.30, starting to move back up again. So I like that pattern where it went sideways for several months, popped up, came back down on a chart basis, starting up again. Now on a chart basis, that looks pretty good. You might want to wait till it gets above 48, because then it'll break the 20-day moving average and 50, they'll break some moving averages, which on the upside. Now Campbell Soup, it's CPB is a symbol. C cat, P is Paul, B is a boy. Out of Camden, New Jersey, $14 billion company. Man, if you haven't heard of Campbell Soup, you're not in the United States, obviously, because they make soups, simple as that. They also do pastas and snacks. They do other things, too, besides soups. $14 billion company means they do a lot of business. They're going to make $2.95 this year. That's down 3% from last year. Then go up to $3.08 next year, which is up 4%. Pays a very nice yield, 3%. So it's one of those blue chip kind of stocks that you can hold for the yield, 3%, and have some upside potential. Because at $3.08, if you gave it a normal market PE, you're talking about what, 30, 45? It's a 47. So it doesn't have a lot of upside potential. It does not. It just has some. Why does it have some? Because the return on equity is 59%. That's very good. Cash flow is very high at 387. Per share. So there's some good things about it, but don't ever expect it. Was it going to go up maybe up to the low 50s? So you don't you know, this is not the kind of stock that you go, oh, wow, that's going to make a lot of money for me. No, it's kind of stock that pays, oh, wow, pays 3% dividend. I can live off that income. That's nice. And it's a steady, very stable company even through recession. It's going to be stable. They still sell their soup. Matter of fact, they sell a lot of soup during recession. Let's go to Sadie in Newark. How are you doing, Sadie?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm curious what you think about the stock Baidu, BIDU.
Okay. Yeah, do you own it or do you want to buy it?
I'm thinking about buying it, but I'm thinking it might be too late.
Okay, let's take a look. Yeah, it's China. It's a Chinese provider of internet search, targeted online advertising. So it's the Chinese Google is what it is. An $88 billion company, growing its sales recent quarter 29%. The quarter before that, 12%. The quarter before that was flat. So it's picking up its sales. They're going to make $9.31 this year, or 2017, I should say. That's a 64% increase from the year before. And then only go up 3% for 2018 to $9.63. So it's not a cheap stock, but it's not super expensive either. Because the P is, what, around, what, 27-ish PE, where the range is 16 to 41. So it's kind of in the middle. So I can't say, you can't say it's overpriced, but you also can't say it's cheap either. So I think it's a no man's land as far as a trade. It's got to break above 275 or go back down to 230 and then start up again from there. Those are the buy points. I would think I'd wait for 225 to 230. That would be where I'd buy it. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Sadie. Baidu, everybody. Thank you. The Chinese Google. Okay? 888-99-CHARGE is our number. 888-992-4278. You know, a lot of people think interest rates going up is a bad thing necessarily for stocks. It's not. It depends on how the rates go up and why they go up. And that's something you have to look at. So why are the rates going up? Because the Fed needs to get them up to fight the next recession. Not because they have to raise them. Inflation's not out of control. Salaries are not out of control. So, you know, don't think just because they're raising the rates this year, 2018, they say they're going to raise them 3 times to a quarter point each. Doesn't mean that the stock market's going to fall because of that. Usually, raising interest rates slows down the economy, stock market falls. Because they're raising interest rates to crush inflation. Well, we don't have inflation to crush. They raise interest rates to slow down the economy. Well, they're not in the mood. They're not slowing down the economy. BJ, hold on. You'll be next. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. If you'd like to get your question in before we're up done for the day, well, now's the time to do it. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to BJ in Fremont. How are you doing, BJ?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call, Steve. Today, just enlighten me with your insight. What is, looks like one day NASDAQ goes down and Dow goes up. And is it all because the money is rotating from one to another?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
It is that new, fresh money is coming into the system, and as a result, overall markets are going up.
I think, then
also, if you can highlight, like, where we can see these kind of details that which can give an indication the fresh money is coming into the market.
That's always very difficult. Where you can see it is relative strength indicator and a couple other indicators. When you're looking at charts, you can see that as things getting stronger against the different markets, and you can see sector rotation with a relative strength indicator as well. There's different things, different chart patterns you can look at, but it's difficult, BJ. Nothing is really like, oh, okay, now let's look there. That's what that means. I wish there was. There isn't anything that will help you with that. Obviously, what we're seeing in the beginning of January is we're seeing money coming into the market, and it looks like late buyers are coming into the stocks. At the end of December, we were seeing some sector rotation moving into different kinds of stocks. from growth stocks to maybe some value plays. And then since beginning of January, I don't know if it's people coming back from vacation or what, but all of a sudden the tech stocks are starting to run again. So it's hard to know where the money is going to flow to, but you do have sector rotation happening. And, you know, the market does not have to go down. It could, sector by sector, could go down while other sectors go up. So it doesn't have to. The correction could be a sector rotation correction, but we haven't seen any of that yet. Not really. So, yeah. BJ, I just wish there was a straight answer I could give you, but there just isn't. There just not.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Mardu. Mardu, is that how you say it? How you doing? San Jose.
Hi. Yeah, can you give me your opinion on PCG?
Okay. Yeah, PCG is the Procter, the Procter, no, is PG&E Corporation, is the generation electricity, electrical generation company that is being blamed for some of the fires that we had here recently, and that's why the stock took a big, huge dive. So now it's a question of, are you brave enough to buy it? Now, we bought it. It's not in all our programs, obviously, but we bought it in one or two of our programs. We sold it in one of our programs just, yesterday, day before, because it popped up a little bit. And I'm a little bit nervous about the growth. The most recent report is their sales growth fell. Had nothing to do with the fires. But I kind of like, it's very good value. P/E ratio is right around 10. It's a $44 stock. And the five-year range is 10 to 23. But you got to remember, the reason why the P/E ratio is that low is because of those fires. But it's a utility company. And who's to say that they're going to be blamed? The actual facts come out. What if this, even if they were at fault, they have insurance for that. So it got beat up probably unfairly, Martu. I think a year from now, I think it'll be higher. Thank you for the call.
I have already bought it at 57 days. Is it right time to sell it out or better to hold?
I'm going to hold the rest of it. I sold probably half of my position. I'm going to hold the rest of it. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Trish, real quick, Bank of America.
Hey, Steve. I'm thinking of buying Bank of America. What's your opinion? Thank you.
Okay, Bank of America, good solid company. It's making new 52-week highs. It's a little expensive. Other than that, it's a very good company. Just a little bit too high for me. Not paying a high enough dividend either. Time to wrap it up, everybody. Reminder, if you're not near our California offices, I can meet you with via Skype or on the phone. One-to-one retirement review. It's really easy. I will be in San Jose for individual meetings on February 7th. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. Then portfolio review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. I and Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, thank you for joining us today, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.